ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वर्स नंबर 33 33 सो इट्स रिटन इन द हिंदी संस्कृत द संस्कृत हेलनम गिरीशभ्रातुर्धन धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान् इति अमर्षितः। हेलनम् गिरीशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। हेलनं गिरिशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। हेलनं गिरिशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। हेलनं गिरिशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। माताजी हेलनं गिरिशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् इति यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। हेलनं गिरिशभ्रातुर् धनदस्यातुया कृतम् यज्ञवान् पुण्यजनान् भ्रातृघ्नान्नित्यमर्षितः। हेलनम् डिसरिस्पेक्टफुल बिहेवियर गिरीश ऑफ लॉर्ड शिवा भ्रातुः द ब्रदर धनदस्य टू कुबेरा त्वया बाय यू कृतम वॉज परफॉर्म्ड यत बिकॉज जग्निवान यू हैव किल्ड पुण्यजनान द यक्षास भ्रातृ ऑफ योर ब्रदर नॉन किलर्स इति दस अमर्षितः एंग्री। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर ध्रुवा यू थॉट दैट द यक्षास किल्ड बाय योर ब्रदर यू थॉट दैट द यक्षास किल्ड योर ब्रदर and therefore you have killed great numbers of them. But by this action you have agitated the mind of Lord Shiva's brother Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigods. Please note that your actions have been very disrespectful to Kuvera and Lord Shiva. Purport. Lord Manu stated that Dhruva Maharaj had been offensive to Lord Shiva and his brother Kuvera because the Yakshas belonged to Kuvera's family. They were not ordinary persons. As such, they have been described as Punya Janan, pious men. Somehow or other, the mind of Kuvera had been agitated and Dhruva Maharaj was advised to pacify him. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Nalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Mancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhevacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, actually, I was not supposed to give a class today. Devotee was supposed to give, could not come, so I just got a 5 minutes notice. So I saw the verse. I'm reading the verse along with you. As you read the verse, so I'm reading the verse. But I seek your blessings to be able to speak something. So, as we are reading that Dhruva Maharaj is killing the Yakshas had unjustly killed his stepbrother Uttama, and in order to take revenge, because his brother had been killed unjustly, and also as a matter of his duty, for both the reasons, he is a king, so it is duty to see if someone transgresses the religious codes of fighting, so many of them together killed Uttama. So it is duty to set the proper codes of conduct, set the proper dharma. So therefore, for both the reasons, being a brother and also being a king, Dhruva Maharaj declared the war on the Yakshas. And of course, they fought back. They were also powerful warriors. And the fight goes for a long time. The whole description of the fight is there. But finally, Dhruva Maharaj has already killed many, many Yakshas and is further killing many more Yakshas. So Swayambhu Manu comes to stop him, to tell him that I think enough Yakshas have been killed. Now you should stop this killing. Now many innocent Yakshas are being killed. So, you feel that you had been offended because your brother has been killed. But now you see that Kuvera, who is the brother of Lord Shiva, he's being offended. Lord Shiva is being offended because you think you have been offended, but now you are offending them. someone may hurt us and we may hurt them back even more. So we face something, we become a part of a problem, but then we make all the bigger problem for someone else by overreacting or something. So you have fine, your reaction is fine, but now you are overreacting. So you had been offended, but now you are offending Kubera and even Lord Shiva. So, you know, someone does something wrong, if we overreact, we may do a greater wrong. We may do a greater wrong. So therefore, that's not the way to do that. There was some woman who cautions him. And especially when now the fight is going on, and Prabhupada writes, when we employ anger in a fight, we have to employ anger. The nature of the anger is that when you employ it, you cannot check it. It's not within your hand. It goes on increasing. That's what Prabhupada writes in one of the purports. He says the nature of anger is when applied somewhere, even if for service it is applied, it goes on increasing without limit, and it's very difficult to check the anger. So then it becomes very harming. So this anger which is increasing now is harming innocent yakshas. Kubera will be offended, Lord Shiva will be offended. So look, only harm is happening now. So quickly check this anger. So Swayambhu Manu is giving this advice. So it's very difficult to check this anger. Actually, it is so difficult even to listen to the advice. First of all, Dhruva Maharaj, actually, as soon as Swayambhu Manu comes and advises him, Dhruva Maharaj is patiently listening to him. First of all, in a fight, you try to give advice. It falls on a deaf ears. If two people are fighting, you try to give advice, they are in no mood to listen to any advice. You know, just the anger is increasing. So the point that Swayambhu Manu is able to speak for so long, that means Dhruva Maharaj is listening, that it still shows that it still shows the humility of Dhruva Maharaj and his power to control the anger. So actually, Swayambhu Manu is giving the feedback. He is pointing out fault with Dhruva. Swayambhu Manu is pointing out fault with Dhruva. Dhruva could very well say, well, they began, they started it. You know, like we go back to the starting point. Who began this tussle? So we said, no, but I didn't do anything wrong to them. They just killed my brother. So it has to be they have to be blamed. Why should I be found, you know, why should I be pointed out? What is my fault? So this is very common argument that who began the whole thing. It is not I did anything. They killed my brother unceremoniously. So therefore, now Dhruva Maharaj doesn't say that. If we see the same thing in the case of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj is performing Ashwamedha Yajnas, 100 sacrifices, for the welfare of all the people, with a very good purpose, very good intention. Indra comes and steals the horse and keeps stealing the horse. And Prithu Maharaj's sons bring the horse back. Right? So he keeps stealing the horse. So after 99, so Indra goes really frantic and he comes in the garb of a mendicant, a sannyasi, to further steal. And Lord Brahma has to come and tell Prithu Maharaj that stop the sacrifice. Now just imagine, if someone is coming to you, you have a shop. Someone comes to steal from your shop. And that person is stealing again and again. And the police comes and tells, keep your shop closed, shut down the shop. No, why do you open the shop? You may say, what? Tell the thief, catch the thief. You know? You are telling me, I am performing sacrifice for the welfare of the citizens. Brahma ji is telling, you stop the sacrifice because Indra is going frantic. He's stealing the horse again and again. So very logical, very, very logical as well as very justifiable argument will be that stop Indra, please. He is coming to steal. I am doing a good work. But Brahma ji advises Prithu Maharaj, you stop the sacrifice. You close down your shop. This thief will not, you know, he will keep coming again and again. And he will, because he takes so many gavs, so he will set up, you know, a wrong legacy altogether. Set up a wrong example. So you stop the sacrifice. So it's very, you know, Bhagavatam therefore challenges our sense of what is right and wrong. We say, no, this is right. Sometimes we stick, this is right, this is not proper, this is improper. So Bhagavatam is challenging that we may have one sense of right and this is right, this is wrong, this is not fair, this is unfair. Prithu Maharaj doesn't even once says, Brahmaji, I think this is not fair. You better deal with Indra. Dhruva Maharaj is not telling Swambhu Muni even once, it's not fair for you to, you know, give class to me. They are the one who began all this. They should be told that they should withdraw. They should stop the fight. I am just fighting because they are coming more and more. But they should take the first step. Dhumar doesn't say, Prithumar doesn't say. Therefore, we understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is challenging our notion of what is fair, what is unfair. What is right, what is wrong. Because in both the cases, there are Mahajanas who are telling. Brahmaji the Mahajan, Swambhu Muni the Mahajan. It's Swambhu, Narado, Shambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu. It's Swambhu is Lord Brahma. His name is also Swambhu. And Manu is Swambhu Manu in this list of 12 Mahajanas. So in both the cases, the great authorities, the Mahajanas are telling, you stop. So therefore, a person who is advanced, he is supposed to go beyond right and wrong and take shelter of higher principle of cooperation, of humility. So for the overall welfare of the people, even if they have been dealt unjustly, it's not that they have to deal in the same way. You can absorb. Therefore, Bhagavatam teaches us that those who are advanced, those who are pure, the pure are expected to be mature. As we purify ourselves, as we become pure in Krishna consciousness, those are advanced, those are pure, the pure are expected to be more mature. Just like in a fight also between the two children sometimes, The child who is a little more mature, as we see, we tend to advise that child. No, the younger child may have committed a mistake, but you let it go. You compromise. We do advise. And the children also, but mistake is on his part or her part. Right? The same argument which the children do, elders also do. Mistake is his, mistake is hers. It is this person who began, like that. But Bhagavatam, Mahajanas are telling us that Dhruva, you are a great devotee. Prithu Maharaj, you are a great devotee. So the pure are expected to be more mature. They are expected, and only when they behave in a more mature way, not just on the sentiment of being right and wrong and so on, they take shelter of higher principles of compromising, accommodating, taking shelter of humility. Only taking shelter of higher principle can also help a immature person to become pure. Actually, there is no other way. With logic, with argument, we actually cannot help a person rise higher. When we take shelter of higher principle in a conflict, then we help the other person also to rise higher in consciousness. Again, we can see the example in a fight. Suppose there have been some fight, and one person takes shelter of higher principle of humility. He begs forgiveness. As soon as that person begs forgiveness, other person also says, no, 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 I think mistake is mine. With lot of argument, logic, you cannot get these words out of another person. Only when we can take shelter of a higher principle can we help another person also to rise higher in his or her consciousness. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj is being advised to take shelter of higher principle. You go and beg forgiveness. Now Swamimur will tell him, go and appease, beg forgiveness from Kuvera. You have offended him. So I said, why? You know, Dhruva Maharaj is so powerful. He is the winner. He is defeating all the yakshas. Right? He is on a winning side. It's not that, you know, losing side. But he is being expected, and he didn't start the fight. But still, he is being expected to go and appease Kuvera and beg forgiveness. So take shelter of humility. Now, first of all, withdraw from the fight and also beg forgiveness. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But Dhruva Maharaj, he being a great soul, he agrees to that. He agrees to take shelter of the higher principle. So Dhruva Maharaj, being a great devotee, being pure, he is expected to be more mature and he acts more mature. And we shall see that how Kuvera, when Dhruva agreed to take that stance of being accommodative, of being humble, listen to the advice of the superior, as soon as Dhruva took shelter of the higher principle, Kuvera was immediately appeased. To the extent, the Kuvera who is going to be offended, Lord Shiva is going to be offended, you know, the great offense is about to be committed. He is so pleased by taking shelter of higher principle, Kuvera says, please ask a benediction. Can you imagine? Someone who has, you know, killed so many yakshas and Kuvera's mind has been agitated, just because Dhruva takes shelter of the principle of humility and agrees to beg forgiveness. You know, such a great warrior who has been blessed by the Lord is not an ordinary person to beg forgiveness. You know, weak has to beg forgiveness, we understand. The weaker party. But a stronger party, who is winning party, that party is expected to beg forgiveness. Prithu Maharaj could have chastised Indra. You know, even they were about to, the Yagyik Brahmanas were about to kill Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, Yagyik Brahmanas, they were about to kill Indra. They said, you don't have to kill him because you are on the altar of sacrifice. We will chant the mantras where we will do Indraya Swaha. He will come into this fire and he will be finished. So Brahmaji just stopped that immediately. So they actually, Indra could have been just killed by the Brahmanas of Prithu Maharaj. They were so powerful, being protected by Prithu Maharaj. So they could have, they similarly, Dhruva is defeating everyone. So Prithu Maharaj is on the winner's side. Dhruva is on a winner's side. There's a stronger side, but they are asked to compromise, and not just compromise. Herein, Dhruva is asked to beg forgiveness also. Right? So therefore, this is the principle of humility stands above the principle of justice, basically. The principle of forgiveness stands much higher. Or the power to forgive is million times greater than the power to punish. We see in this world that someone offends and someone offends someone, the villain commits, you know, some atrocity and the hero punishes. This has been a theme. So the power to punish the wrongdoer, we have seen many episodes, many movies on the power to punish. But the power to forgive, who can demonstrate the power to forgive? The power to forgive is million times greater. Only those who are dedicated to Lord Vasudev, those who are dedicated to Lord Ananta, only they can demonstrate the power to forgive. Even great mystics like Durvasa, imagine great mystic like Durvasa, who could travel all over the world, Durvasa Muni, when chased by Sudarshan Chakra, within 1 year he travelled the entire universe up to the Vaikuntha Loka. Within 1 year. It's such a marathon he had, a marathon runner. No Bhuto na Bhavishyati will be able to break his record. That's that kind of. Within, he went to the deep, down to the bottom of the ocean, right, and up to the Vaikuntha Loka, Lord Vishnu, within 1 year. He covered billions of miles. He ran. So he was a mystic, great mystic. He praises this power of forgiveness of the devotees of the Lord by congratulating Ambarish Maharaj by saying, Oho Ananta Dasa Naam Mahattam Drashtu Madhyame. He said, I have seen great power. He himself is so powerful. Just imagine Durvasa. He has all the mystic powers. He can immediately do whatever he wants. If Durvasa were to participate in Olympics, he could win all the gold medals, undisputed. he could just be one man team and defeat all other teams put together. He had mystic powers. What could he not do? Durvasa could be smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest. What could he not do? Whom he could not impress? But he says, although he has all the powers, but I am impressed with the power of Ambarish Maharaj to forgive. I don't have that power. A person who can create a mansion, anything desirable or unimaginable by us also, one of the greatest mystic who could cure anyone of anything, give anyone any amount of wealth, any benediction, bring any devata in front of you, right? Durvasa Muni. He gave the mantra to Kunti Maharani, Durvasa. You can bring any devata by the power of this mantra, right? Any devata could become subservient to appear before you. That is Durvasa. But he says, with all my power, I don't have the power to forgive like Ambarish Maharaj. Oho Ananta Dasa Naam Hattam Drashtum Adhyame. Today I have seen the greatness of the devotees of Ananta Dasa Naam, of Lord Ananta. Oho Ananta Dasa Naam Mahattam Drashtum Adhyame Kritag Sop Yatrajan Mangalani Samihate. Although I committed great offense at Ambarish Lotus Feet, Kritag Sop, right? I actually, he overreacted for a small thing. He was overreacted and was very harsh, right? Not just harsh, he wanted to kill Ambarish Maharaj. He was very cruel. He wanted to just kill him and offended Ambarish Maharaj. But Kritag Sopiyat Rajan Mangalani Samihate. But at all times, Ambarish Maharaj only desired the well-being of Durvasa. Right? So Ambarish Maharaj would have been very happy now. Sudarshan is chasing, Durvasa will be finished. He didn't have to do anything. It was the arrangement of the Lord. If you don't have to do anything, then no blame on you. Someone offended you and that person has been now, in trouble. So we said, what can I do? I didn't pray like that but within somewhere we'll be a little bit happy, Someone who offended us so much, now that person has met his fate without my asking for that or praying for that. What could be better? What could be better if that person who offended me meets, his destination, gets his required punishment? I'll be so happy, because I'm not implicated. I didn't desire any harm for that person. But we'll be a little bit happy inside to see the due punishment is being accorded. that will be very, very natural to us. But Ambarish Maharaj being a Vaishnava, who is the Vaishnava is being shown and how far we are and what should be our aspiration is shown. Ambarish Maharaj always remained Mangalan. He always wished him well. To the extent, now it goes beyond. To the extent, Ambarish Maharaj prays to Sudarshan to relieve Durvasa. And what kind of prayer? He says, if I have done any good, if I have done any worship of the Supreme Lord. In my dynasty, if there are any credits, let that be taken away and Durvasa be forgiven for exchange of that. Can you imagine? So he is ready to, a person who, he was ready to do anything to kill Durvasa, to Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj is ready to go to any extent to forgive him. To the extent that let all my credits of worshipping you be taken away to forgive Durvasa. Durvasa is shocked. This kind of power is never seen except in such devotees of the Lord. Who could exercise such forgiveness? And the power to punish has been seen. Durvasa himself had demonstrated such great power to punish. Just plucking one hair, he created a fiery monster. But this kind of power to forgive, ready to go all the way out to forgive a person, Kritaga Sopiyatrajan Mangalani Samihase, this has never been seen before. Never been seen before. So therefore, the principles described in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are very extraordinary. We try to understand them, appreciate them, and we pray to such great souls, we pray to the Lord that some lifetime we may have the right aspiration at least, right understanding and right aspiration. We can't actually act on that platform, very high platform. But at least, even if we appreciate, even if we have the right understanding and the appreciation, and we worship, then at least we can attempt, we can make a small attempt. And that attempt will itself be a glorious, although we may fail, but we may attempt to follow or aspire, have the right aspiration. If the right aspiration, then the Lord may help us to progress, to follow in the footsteps of this great soul like Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, and so many other great souls who similarly demonstrated the power of humility, the power of forgiveness when asked for. Hare Krishna. So, is there any comment? Anyone want to share anything or clarification or a question? Yes, Sri Gurcharan Prabhu.
Prabhuji, thank you for one nice class. You were just saying that, you know, somebody is getting his destination and then we are not praying for it. And so we think that we are not implicated. A little bit we feel happy. So, but that's also an implication.
Feeling we may feel happy.
We may. Yeah.
Thinking that I'm not getting implicated.
Yeah, but that's also an, that could also be a kind of implication.
Yeah, in the sense, see, that could be a, that's not a, now, from a very high perspective, one can say that, If someone does wrong to us, we naturally feel hurt. Naturally feel hurt. There's no doubt about it. And when that person undergoes something, we may feel happy. Again, that may come because we are not so pure. We may feel happy about it. But if we can again aspire that I should not, although I cannot feelingly pray for this person, but I should not feel happy. This is not, if you have the right understanding, this is not the right sentiment for a Vaishnava, to feel happy when someone else, you know, is meeting even his or own wrongdoing, his or own fate. They're meeting their own fate, but still it's not happy to be on my part. That feeling is not the appropriate feeling, there's no doubt about it. So, therefore we should at least aspire that I should not, although I am at this point of time, I am feeling happy that this person is meeting his own fate, but it is not the right feeling, oh Lord, please help me to come out of it. If we can make the right a small prayer also, then we can get out of the implication. Right? So the right aspiration at least should be there, even if the right action is not there. No, action is not within our control. We may feel happy when someone else, you know, suffers for their own wrongdoing. So we can't control it because we are what we are. But at least, if not action, the aspiration can be right. Then we are on the right track of not getting implicated in a severe way or coming out of that. This is my small understanding. If you want to share any, another devotee would want to share anything else, be welcome. Question. Yes, Prabhu.
Pooja, it is said that when you offend the Lord, Haristane Apara Tari Harina, but if you offend Vaishnavas, then Vaishnava may forgive, but Lord may not forgive. So in these two examples, we studied today of Durvasa Muni, and he was forgiven. And even in Indra and Prithu Maharaj case, both were like devotees. But we see in Dhruva Maharaj episode, yesterday we were just thinking, even the Uttama and Suruchi has to go to the effect of like the, for what they have done to Dhruva Maharaj. So is it like when these two, between two devotees, then the forgiveness is like taken care and seeing the devotion of her. Like Indra also, it is said that Indra was forgiven though his devotee, he did the rain on the Vraja, but the demons liberated like or punished like that. So is it like devotees are forgiven or?
Wait a minute. Just repeat your question again. You gave two, three examples. There could be different dynamics in the... One is Uttama and his mother.
Uttama and Suruchi got punished.
In the sense, Lord told that they destined for them. Okay, so this part, let me just take one by one. He said, there's a verse which describes that... that Haridas Thakur, being a devotee, he did not took the offense of Kupal Chakravarti seriously. But the Lord took the offense. So Haridas Thakur forgave Kupal Chakravarti, but he got leprosy. Because the Lord took the offense, Lord did not forgive. Right? So Haridas Thakur forgave. Naturally, without being asked, now that's another thing. One thing is a person asks forgiveness, then a Vaishnava naturally forgives. But Haridas Thakur forgave Gopal Chakravarti even without his asking forgiveness. But the Lord did not. Lord did not. So therefore he had to suffer. He had to suffer till he becomes humble. Right? So Vaishnava is, he shows his elevated nature.
भक्त स्वभाव अज्ञा दोष नाही लय कृष्ण स्वभाव भक्त निंदा सहिते न पारे.
सो लाइक दैट सेट भक्त स्वभाव, व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ अ डिवोटी, ही डजंट टेक द ऑफेंस. बट व्हाट इज द नेचर ऑफ द लॉर्ड, ही डजंट फॉरगिव द पर्सन हु ऑफेंड्स इज डिवोटी टिल दैट पर्सन एक्चुअली बिकम्स हम्बल. सो डिवोटी'स नेचर इज विदाउट इवन सीकिंग, विदाउट ऑफेंडर सीकिंग फॉरगिवनेस. A devotee may forgive. He doesn't. But Krishna Sabhav, Bhakta Ninda Sahite Na Pare. A devotee is offended, criticized. Lord makes sure that this person has to be thrashed and brought to the right path. Although a devotee may forgive. So that is the nature of a devotee, that is the nature of the Lord. So now understanding this, ask the question, the example wise.
So now I understood, you mean to say this Indra, now all the examples are clear with this principle, that is a devotee is rectified just by the Lord's involvement, then they are not punished, but if, till the time they are not rectified, they are punished.
Yeah,
or they are becoming humble.
So first of all, now understand two things. In the case of the Haridas Thakur, offense were committed by a non-devotee. Now, we are not talking of the devotee dynamics here. First of all, if a non-devotee commits offense to a devotee may even forgive. But the Lord doesn't forgive. Lord doesn't forgive. Even in the case of a devotee commits to another devotee, where practicing devotees commit offenses toward each other, the Lord still will accord some punishment to a practicing devotee in a way that person come to a right path. It may not be considered as a, it can be, it's like a Vaishnava aparad, is a severe thing. But if a devotee commits offense, the Lord will punish the wrongdoers, but the Lord will purify a practicing devotee. So there is a little difference between the two, punishment and purification. Although purification also, the, you know, it will be like a punishment, but in the case of devotees, the Lord sees that he takes, there is a more personal touch over there in the purification. Then like the parents, when they punish a child, their purpose is to purify. So they punish in a sensitive way, in a more personal way, right? In a loving way, kind of punishment is given. So for devotees, offender to other devotees, the Lord makes sure that the other devotees also is purified. The wrongdoers are punished. So there is a kind of a difference between the who commits the offense, to whom, you know, and this person is a pure devotee, then the offense is even serious. So the nature of the offense, so all that dynamics is there.
Guruji, in that pastime, Lord says that only if Amrish Maharaj can forgive you, then only I can forgive like that. In that pastime.
Yes.
So if devotee forgives, but as we said, that sometimes Lord even does not, like in case of, maybe...
Because now he is seeking forgiveness. No? Uh-huh. First of all, he is begging forgiveness now from Lord Vishnu. He has become humble now. So Lord says, okay, go and bow down before Amrish Maharaj. You become humble, go and fall his feet. So Durvasa come and fall at Amrish Maharaj's feet. Although it already, Amrish Maharaj didn't took the offense, but Lord wants to see this fellow becomes humble. So you fall at his feet. So from Amrish's side, he was already forgiven before and after. But Lord wants to see this, he comes down on his knees. So when he falls on his feet, then the Lord paves the way for actually him to be relieved from this situation. So Amrish Maharaj prays to Sudarshan, who is also the Supreme Lord. He tells you, go and beg forgiveness from Amrish. Amrish Maharaj prays to Sudarshan. They both are one party, you know. You send him to him. Make sure the person gets the lesson, gets the humility. So, yes, Tiyasindhu Prabhu. I thought you raised hand. You raised hand? You want to also ask? Okay, you can ask quickly. You also want to ask?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll try to be give a quick answer. Yes.
Prabhu, this is, you discussed about the pure devotees. Yeah. Like reacting and overreacting.
Mm.
But because here Brahma and Swayamun, all the exalted devotees involved. But I want to know about the normal people.
Mm.
Like in the Grihastha Ashram, otherwise in the working place. So how we should do? If we don't react, even the mistake, they may be committing more mistakes. Even myself, in my authority, if he's not reacting, I may be taking it at advantage in doing mistakes. So how to understand this?
Yeah, so basically, the parameter is that when do we overreact? When we react out of false ego. Basically, our ego is hurt, then we tend to overreact. But if we actually are the well-wisher of a person, if we want to make sure that I want to correct the situation, if that is the motivation, now what we do is usually we say I want to correct the situation, but actually there is our ego has been hurt, so I want to venge out my anger also. So in the name of correcting the situation, we venge out the vengeance of the heart. We take out that. Right? We burst out in. So we tend to overreact because of our own, you know, outburst. Basically, to correct the situation, if we think deeply that how the situation can be corrected, then we will not overreact. We will act in such a way that that person, you know, is elevated. We'll try to help that person. But when we venge out our anger, then that person is not helped. That person is further hurt. So it depend upon, first of all, that we have to really, you know, contemplate is what is my motivation of correcting a person. Often it could be mixed also. So to the degree that motivation is pure, to that degree we can help that person. So it has to be a little bit introspective. Right? So we have to learn to react less, right? And act in a right way, act according to the principles. We tend to overreact, but again bring a correction, understanding the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help. Yes, Deya Sindhu Prabhu.
Regarding when we are not able to find out the cause of our offense and we see that it reflects in our sadhana and all. Like in the case of Rupa Goswami Pad, when that he was meditating on something, some leela, and the other Vaishnava thought that he is laughing on my limbing. But in our case, like, you know, we are dealing with so many devotees, so many brahmacharis, like that. So sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly, we may create some offense or may, like, you know, and that reflects in our sadhana and everything. But we are really not able to find out what is the cause, you know. Maybe externally, I may not have spoke to anyone.
Yeah.
But sometimes that nature, inbuilt nature comes out.
Yeah. Right. So, actually, if we are feeling, suddenly if we feel too much agitated in our spiritual life, anartha starts surfacing, the first thing to look at, have I offended some devotee? As soon as we offend a devotee, immediately we'll lose the nourishment. Immediately, suddenly we will find that, you know, the lower mode starts overcoming us. But suddenly I was feeling good, you know, now suddenly such lower modes are overcoming. What has happened? So the first thing to look at it, have offended some devotee. And soon if we contemplate, did I spoke something to someone in such a way or act someone? So if we can just contemplate, we can find out the answer. The Lord who is within the heart, with a well-wisher, will immediately suggest that actually this is look here. Right? So we can do that. So it's not so difficult to find out whom we offended, because we have done it, you know. We have spoken wrong or we have acted wrong, or even in a finer sense we have thought something wrong. In a finer sense, even that the Lord may even, you know, take that also seriously to purify his devotee. Although in said Kali Yuga mental offenses are not committed, but mental offenses may cause verbal and gross offenses. Therefore, the Lord may want to purify a devotee's mental offense also, and he may check the mercy. Again, the lower modes may arise and so on. May feel too passionate or in ignorance, it may happen. So, therefore, a sincere contemplation, a prayer will help us to find out. It could be rooted in the offense. Very, very much possible. That's quite often the case, because we live in the society of devotees. That could be often the case. So sincere contemplation will help. That is one thing. Otherwise, a genuine service attitude towards all the devotees. So there was, in one case, someone suggested, why don't you call a feast for all the devotees? A person has been offended, he won't come to attend your feast. You'll come to find, he will come to know that who has been offended. You know, in a society of devotees, said, okay, I'm giving a feast to all devotees. The few people said, I don't want to go to his feast because he spoke wrong to me, something like that. So there are some tricks also to find out, you know, and then especially to appease that Vaishnava and so on. So, but the point is, when we want to do the right thing, the ways will come out. We'll be able to find out the way. Way is not a difficult. The aspiration, with the right aspiration, the Lord shows the right way. Basically, that's the point. You want to ask something? Okay, we are exceeding the time, only 1 minute remaining. I'll quickly try to answer.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for giving nice class. Prabhu, can you explain the Chitraketu and Mother Parvati episode? This your theme today's little explanation.
Oh, there are so many themes in Bhagavatam. The details, and each one has many details to it. So, basically, Chitraketu Maharaj, there was some little pride in his heart. So he spoke. It was not an offensive remark, but it was a little bit sarcastic, out of slight pride. But Mother Parvati overreacted in this case. And then immediately Chitraketu Maharaj took shelter of humility and Lord Shiva starts praising Chitraketu Maharaj. And Mother Parvati, you know, so she because she overreacted, she became also offensive. So she had to, you know, bear that offense to Chitraketu Maharaj because she overreacted in that case. She cursed Chitraketu Maharaj for a small fault. It was a very small fault. But Chitraketu Maharaj, being a Vaishnava again, he took shelter of humility, accepted the curse wholeheartedly, and you know, and Lord Shiva glorifies Chitraketu Maharaj. So in this case also, of course, another small dimension, Krishna's hand. Krishna wants you to purify that small pride, so he orchestrated the whole thing that he be cursed and that pride may be removed, come back to me. So that's another dimension of it. But Chitraketu Maharaj is glorious because he is the one to take shelter of the higher principle in that case on being cursed. So Lord again demonstrates the glory of his devotees, which Lord Shiva tells. Look, Vasudeva, you know, those are Vasudeva Parayana, look at them, how they are totally indifferent to Swarga, Apavarga, Narkeshu. This is a beautiful verse described. They don't mind being at any place. This is the glory of the devotees. Lord Shiva glorifies Chitraketu Maharaj. Right? So he on being cursed, doesn't react at all. So that is his glory. Grantra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.